Let me just add this note. The Lord has a sense of humor. My mother, on September the 4th, always used to remind me that I was born on Labor Day. You'll get that in a little while. One of the most painful days of her life, and the day Jackie was born. Thank you for your well wishes, and thank you for your good words, and for your prayers. And thank you just for being a blessing to Sweet Libby and me. Sweet Libby's birthday is coming up Wednesday, and I can't wait. I love you. But I've always loved old people. You knew that was coming, didn't you?
Hope you're riding by yourself today.
Oh, she's no lie. She knows I'm kidding. I'm so blessed to have a godly, beautiful, godly, wonderful wife, mother to our children, grandmother to our grandchildren, great-grandmother to our two great-grandchildren, and what a blessing she is. And when you get to know Libby, you realize she is funny as all get out. The Greek word is, she's a hoot. Happy birthday soon. Yeah, you're welcome. When we first lived in Bartlett, 1986 to 1995, we were at Bartlett Baptist Church, and then still lived in this area for a number of years when I went into evangelism. But all three of our children went to Bartlett High School, and both of our boys were on the wrestling team at Bartlett High School. And I'd love to go watch them wrestle. Libby never could go. She just couldn't stand seeing somebody hurt her baby. But anyway, we had a good time. But I was reminded of a story I heard a long time ago about a wrestling tournament on the high school state level between two schools. It was the final match of the event. And the coach got his team together. They were underdogs, and got his wrestlers together and said, "Now, fellas, when you go out there today, the school's reputation and our name is on your shoulders. Carry it well. And one of the things that I don't want you to do, don't let them get you in that infamous hold the other team had perfected. Don't let them get you in the double reverse pretzel hold." Now that hurts just even pronouncing it. Yes. The double reverse pretzel hold. Well, the last match began, and it didn't look good for the old boy that was the underdog, because he was in the double reverse pretzel hold and he couldn't get out. And the coach just kind of covered his eyes for a moment and thought, "It's all over." Then the crowd burst into applause because the underdog had broken the double reverse pretzel hold, had pinned the other wrestler from the other school, had won the match, and won the tournament for the school that year. And it was amazing. And the coach ran out to the young man and picked him up in his arms and told him how proud he was of him and said, "How did you do it? Nobody else has ever done it. Nobody could break this hold. How did you do it?" And the young man was catching his breath, and he said, "Coach, I don't know. All I know was I was in that terrible, horrible hold. I couldn't breathe. I was turning blue. There's an agony, that double reverse pretzel hold. And all I remember seeing, Coach, is in front of my face, all I could remember seeing was one big toe. And that's all I remember. And so, Coach, I did the only thing I had the strength to do. I just bit down on that big toe as hard as I could bite. And I won." And he said, "Coach, It's amazing what you can do when you bite your own big toe. So having said that, have you ever been asked to do something that was harder than you thought you could do? Well, this morning you may have noticed in your worship guide an outline that looks familiar. It was the same one from last Sunday. I don't really think I ever get through with the sermon. I always wish I'd said something else or expounded in another area. But I wanted this morning to take up where we left off last Sunday when we talked about burying the hatchet without leaving the handle sticking out. Because on a very serious note, I don't know of anything that the Lord asks us to do as Christians more difficult, more hard to do than forgive someone who has wounded us, hurt us, or mistreated us. And I know that we're dealing with something that everybody in this room deals with, has dealt with, or will deal with to some degree, to some level along life's way. That's why Jesus had so much to say about forgiveness in the passages that you have before you this morning. We're talking about forgiveness, and the subtitle is How Far Should We Go? I want to maybe preface it by saying you probably have had those moments where you thought, I wish I could live my life victoriously, kind of like Brother Jackie. Now, this is heading somewhere, so y'all stay with me. You know that I'm an imperfect human being, just like all of us are imperfect. And I don't know if you'd be surprised or not to know that your pastor has struggled in this area of my life and my faith, just like you have. You ever been wounded? You ever just been hurt? Or you ever felt like you were betrayed? Or what, you could fill in the blank. And the truth is, I've been there. And Libby's been there. You've been there. Or I hope you've not, but I suspect you have. And I remember a season in my life where I, having been to seminary, having pastored for years, having pastored some wonderful churches and known some wonderful people, that I found myself at a point in life where I was defeated. I was defeated by the evil one because he had gotten a foothold in my emotional life by making me a slave to bitterness and anger. Now, you wouldn't have known that if you'd just been around me. I didn't talk about it, about the hurt that I had experienced or the Libby experience, but it was very real. Until one day we were at lunch. At lunch in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Southern Baptist Convention. We were having lunch with some of our dearest, sweetest friends, and they knew about what we were wrestling with. It was family issues, family difficulties. And I'll never forget that my friend looked across the table at me with empathy, with caring and wisdom, and yet with courage, and said, Jackie, if you really want to have victory in this area of your life, you're going to have to go home. And you're going to have to do whatever it takes on your part to make things right. And those words were like a knife to my heart. And I came home. And I made a phone call. And we got together with those with whom we had the dispute and the division that I was so embarrassed about and ashamed of. And before we left, we were all in tears. And God melted our hearts together. And that day God healed our wounded hearts. That's why Jesus said so much about forgiveness. One day, and Libby will remember this well, we lived in a little subdivision off of Sycamore View, coming into Bartlett from the interstate. And I was in the middle lane and was going to, is that Freeman Park? Okay.
Yep.
Freeman Park was just ahead. And I was in the middle lane, and I noticed in the right-hand lane there were two young men riding their bicycles. And they were riding in the street, but near the curb. And when I got close to them, I realized one of the young men that I realized was about 12 years old looked over his left shoulder to see if he could cross the street. And when he looked over his left shoulder, he didn't realize it, but he veered his bicycle in front of the car in the right lane. And the car hit his bicycle and threw him upon the hood of the car, and his head hit the windshield and smashed the windshield. The driver in panic slammed on the brakes and threw the young man into the street as though he were a rag doll. The driver slumped over the wheel of his car in disbelief, and I was the next car in line, and I jammed on my brakes and jumped out, and I was the first one to the young man lying in the street in a pool of blood. And in those next few moments, someone called 911, and the next few moments you could hear the ambulance coming. But I remember this. I was holding the young man's head in my arms, trying to encourage. He was semi-conscious. And he said this. Tim, he said this. He said, "Sir, if you'll just let me go home, I'll be okay." He did not know his leg was broken. In fact, it was bent completely backwards. Compound fracture. "Sir, if you'll just let me go home, I'll be okay." He couldn't go home. Several years later, I was preaching at Broadmoor Baptist Church, and a big old tall, good-looking young man, dressed nice, well-mannered, came up to me and said, "Aren't you Jackie Kay?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You won't remember me, but I was that 12-year-old boy that got run over his bicycle. And you were that preacher who stayed with me till the ambulance got there. And I've never had a chance to thank you for being there when I needed you so much." And he was well. You see, when he was wounded, he didn't know how bad it was. But when he got well, he realized how wonderfully God had brought him through. I believe there may be somebody here or somebody that God will bring into our path, and you don't realize how bad it is, and you don't realize how important it is to deal with this thing called right relationships and forgiveness that Jesus talks about, because there's healing in obedience and there's defeat in rebellion. Some of the passages we looked at last week, one of them was in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. I want to give you the context of these verses. They come at a place where Jesus was talking about worship. And when you come to the house of God, what does God want us to do? What is real worship in the eyes of the holy God? Jesus said in verses 23 and 24, "Therefore..." And any time a passage begins with that, it's a life application truth. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar," you've come to the place of worship, you've come to the time of the offering, you've come for the time of sacrifice, "and there, in the act of worship there, in the act of bowing before the Lord, you remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way." And you might want to note that word, "thy way," the divinely appointed way, your personal responsible way. First, before you offer your lamb, first, before you give your offerings, first, be what? Reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Jesus was saying to the disciples, don't take this thing casually, because you can't even worship rightly if there is bitterness or an unforgiving spirit in your heart or broken fellowship that you are not willing to try to make right. Now, some of you are thinking, maybe, Brother Jackie, and I know I've said this before, but listen to it one more time. You've not walked in my shoes. You've not journeyed down my path. You don't know about how I was deserted in this marriage relationship, or how this business partner treated me, or how this neighbor treated me, or how a family member treated me. And I don't know, but God does know. And there's no hurt that God can't heal. There's no pain that God can't take away by His grace. So He was saying to the disciples, don't just keep on worshiping as though everything is all right. Worship is a time to get things right as we know for them to be. Then in Matthew 6, verse 12, Jesus was sharing the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Prayer. And He said, as you pray, part of that prayer was, and forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us just like we forgive others. What if the Lord forgave us just like we forgive others? No more, no less. In Matthew 18, and I love this passage because it's Simon Peter. And Simon Peter is always transparent. He sometimes has foot and mouth disease. He sometimes gets himself in trouble. But you know what he's thinking. And listen to this. Simon Peter came to him after hearing Jesus talk about forgiveness and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, Lord, this ain't easy. How far do you want me to go with this? And then Simon Peter answers his own question. I love this because that's what we do all the time. We kind of tell God what we're going to do rather than letting God tell us what we're going to do. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And by the way, don't be too hard on Simon Peter. Most of us don't forgive anybody seven times for the same thing. Unless it's that thing that they did and then murder on top of that. If somebody wrongs us seven times in the same way, we're prone to get vengeful and payback time is coming. Jesus was saying, no, till seven times. Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And this is the principle. As long as there is a need for restoration in a relationship, we can't give up. We can't quit trying. We can't quit praying. We can't quit being open to the possibility of reconciliation. Some of us, and I know this is painful to say, some of us perhaps have put in our secret closet of our hearts a hurt, a wrong, a wound, an injustice, and we've just kind of given up on it ever being made right. And there it is in the closet. The Lord said, it's time to let God bring healing to your hurt. And on the cross, have you ever thought about this? I know you have. What it must have meant when Jesus said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. What do you do when you've been hurt? What are you supposed to do? How do you bury the hatchet and not leave the handle sticking out? I want to share with you two or three thoughts this morning that we didn't get to share last week, but I wanted to do that this morning because they're so significant and so so very important. And that is God's directives. It's Roman numeral number 2 in your outline, in your study. God's directives regarding forgiveness. Now ask God to give us an ear of hearing. Lord, help us to hear what your word is saying. Lord, what do you want us to do? Notice the emphasis that Jesus puts on our personal responsibility. Now, Brother Jackie, don't go there, because you don't know how badly I was mistreated. It wasn't my fault, and you just don't know what was said. And I don't, and I'm not trying to demean that or belittle that. But I'm just simply telling you, Jesus gives us a higher standard as Christians to live by. We live at the foot of the cross, and if Jesus can pray, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, he is going to require of us an embracing of a higher standard of forgiveness. And when we come to the place of forgiving folks, we are to be initiators, reconcilers, and healers. And in Matthew 18, verse 15, he said, go to that person between you and them privately. It's not the business of the rest of the community. It's not the place to spread broken relationship issues with other folks with the idea in mind that maybe somebody will be on your side or take your view. No, Jesus said, when you run your worshiping, first of all, go be reconciled. But he says, go privately between him and thee and you alone. Is anybody out there that you need to go to? Brother Jackie, they won't listen. They may not. But you see, you're not responsible, and I'm not responsible for their response. All I'm responsible for is my obedience to the Lord. Now let me pause here and say, if there was an uncomfortable meter and it was on the wall, like, he's done quit preaching and gone to meddling. I wonder what the needle would be doing. Because I suspect if I've dealt with this, and if Sweet Libby's dealt with this, I suspect in all likelihood we're not by ourselves. What does he want us to do? What are God's directives? We're to be initiators, reconcilers, and healers. We are to go privately. That's what my friend said in Atlanta, Georgia. Jackie, you've got to go back and you've got to do whatever it takes to begin the process of making things right, regardless of the other person's response. But next, we're to go promptly. Matthew 5:25, go quickly. Don't let this thing simmer and don't let it sit there and kind of boil, because bitterness runs deep, and sometimes it gets worse, and you begin to be, and bitterness will steal your joy and steal your victory and steal your peace. Go privately, go quickly, go promptly, go peacefully. I like this one. And be reconciled. That's Matthew 5:24. Leave your gun at home when you go. Did you hear that? Leave your club at home when you go. Or leave all the prepared speeches that you've gotten to make. Just leave them at home. What's he saying? You go not to win an argument, not to rehash the same old story from years ago. You go to be reconciled and be made right with one another and right with God. So you go personally, you go privately, you go promptly, you go peacefully, and then you go prayerfully. Matthew 5:24, leave your gift before the altar, the place of prayer. You go in a spirit of Christ. And by the way, I made this statement a week ago, and let me make it again today. Regardless of how deeply you've been wounded or how serious the harm or how unjustified it was, and please know that I have heard some unspeakably sad stories of how people have been wounded and hurt. And I'm not excusing those at all. But the truth is, we are to go prayerfully, because as a part of serving the Lord, we go to be sure that we're in line with God's will for our lives. And then we are to go persistently. Now stay with me. Brother Jackie, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to pay any attention to me. Go. If that doesn't work, take somebody with you. If that doesn't work, get the church to be a support to you and get some wisdom from the family of faith. Now, what does all of that mean? It means God understands how difficult it is for us to deal with a broken heart and wounded emotions and the mistreated experiences in life. But that's why Jesus said all that he said about it, so that we might understand that forgiveness is one of the things that you and I, this is a quote from last week, you and I will never have to forgive anybody as much as Jesus had to forgive us. And by the way, stay with me, and I'm almost done. Jesus won't ask you to do anything that he won't give you the grace to do. Unforgiveness is a terrible thing. It's ruin for us spiritually. It's a roadblock to revival and so many other things we could say. But forgiveness is such a blessed thing. And I close with this thought. When you discover what it means to forgive, you discover a new dimension of victory in Christ. Roman numeral number 5 in your outline this morning. I'll just mention them, for our time is gone. How do you discover forgiveness? Acknowledge that you've been hurt. And God, just be honest with God. Confess that we've sinned and acknowledge God's forgiveness for our sins. And that's twofold. If we may or may not have said or done anything out of order, or if we have postponed, or if we have failed to make this thing right or do the best we can to make it right, and we've not dealt with it, we just need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Give me grace. Be obedient. Face the fact that unless we forgive all others, God's forgiveness toward us is handicapped. With God's help, make a conscious decision to forgive. Be obedient. Ask God for wisdom in the process. Pray for those who have offended you and hurt you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. But here's the kicker. This is the tough one. You ready? Bless those that hurt you. Bless those that hurt you. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. And do good to them that hate you. We're done. But let me ask you a question. What's God's word saying to you? What's God's word saying to your heart about a relationship, about a somebody special in your life that for some reason some relationship went south? What's God saying to you about doing what you can do? By the way, again, we are not responsible for how people respond to us. We're responsible for being obedient to the Lord. And my prayer is that that somebody somewhere will come back and say, Brother Jackie, thank you for preaching that sermon on forgiveness. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that you've forgiven us more than we'll ever have to forgive anybody. And thank you for giving me grace to do what was hard to do. And it sure is sweet when things are as right as they can be. Now, one last thought, and this really is the last thought. Regardless of somebody else's response, regardless of what it is, you can have peace with God. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can have victory when you do what God's asked you to do and leave the rest to Him. Would you bow with me, please, for a moment?